Let's turn in our Bibles in the book of Mark. Mark, the 9th chapter, please. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. It's been good to be here. Been good to be with Brother John Mitchell again. We don't get to see much of each other in these days, but we've worked together about 15 years, and it's been a real blessing. Amen. In verse 14, the Bible said, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and is running to salute him. And when he asked the scribes, 'What question ye with them?' one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit.'" That's my daddy's life verse. "And wheresoever he taketh him, he tireth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and he pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." I looked here in this verse of Scripture where it said he came to his disciples, and he saw a great multitude. I'd like to speak to you this morning on what Jesus saw when he came. Now, the book of Mark is a little bit different than the book of Matthew. So you'll have to kind of decide what you're going to preach, kind of what you're going to be. Amen. In the book of Mark, there's never any rebuke to the wicked generation. See, the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew is not in here. And the 23rd chapter of Matthew is not in here. Jesus is a servant. He's out preaching and working, and there's not much rebuke in the book of Mark. There's not much scalding them Pharisees and Sadducees in the book of Mark, because he's preaching and going everywhere trying to win people to God, and he's leaving these Pharisees and Sadducees alone in the book of Mark. He's trying to reach the sinner in the book of Mark, trying to help the needy in the book of Mark. And you'll find the Master doing things different at different times. And sometimes you, when you want to talk to the Pharisees, is when you're talking to the Pharisees. Amen? Amen. All right. And when you're talking to the unsaved, you want to do like he did in the book of Mark. Amen. Amen. And so get that straightened out, and it'll be a real blessing to you. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude. And the Bible said here, and I want you to notice here some things he saw, and I could read down to verse 29, but I won't for the sake of time. I believe the Lord saw a disoriented society when he came here. They were around this young man, and they had a lot of claims in Israel, and they said if a man was educated enough, he'd be all right. But this boy has got a dumb spirit. Now, I know I'm leaning on the Scripture this morning, but we got some highly educated people that are eat up with ignorance. My dad has never been to school. My dad could never read till my mother taught him how to read the Bible. Brother Eastep was trying to tell him why the King James Bible was the Word of God. And he said, "You're the dumbest man I ever met." He said, "The reason it's the Word of God is because God wrote it." Yeah. I mean, you know, he had a couple of these doctors, and he said, any fool in the world knows that. Amen. But he was witnessing to a man out there at Massey. He was buying some cows off of him. And this man was telling how smart he was. And he asked him, you ever been born again? And the man said, no. And he said, are you going to heaven? He said, I don't believe the one is. He said, you're the most ignorant man I ever met. And he just took this doctor back. And he said, and my brother was with him, who's a captain on a fire department, a lot younger than I am. But my brother said, let's go. And Papa kept telling him how ignorant he was and how stupid he was and how dumb he was. And finally the man said, I don't have to take this. He said, well, you're expecting me to take what you say, that my God's not alive, that Christ is not my heart, that my Bible's not the Word of God. You want me to take all that? But he said, you're ignorant. And the man said, how'd you come up with that? He said, well, have you ever been born again? He said, how? He said, see that how ignorant you are? You don't even know. You see, there's a lot of uneducated people who are not ignorant. There's a lot of educated people who are ignorant. Hello? All right. But he found a disoriented society, and our society and his society said, education will do the trick. We found that to be a lie. They claim the psychiatrist had the answer. This boy's got a dumb spirit, and they brought him to the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Everybody had a shot at him, the doctors, even the disciples. Nobody could help him. When Jesus looked out on his crowd, he saw a disoriented society. I saw a picture the other day when I was coming over. I told Brother John, I said, I can't believe this. Them big old things that goes in the water, what do they call them? A porpoise? I don't know what it was. Maybe a whale. I don't know what it was. Anyway, this fool was swimming along by, and he was holding it up, and he said it had a blowhole right there behind his head. And he said his blowhole was stopped up. And he was trying to put something down in there to get it unstopped where this crazy whale could swim or whatever it was. Big old fish. What is it, porpoise? Is that what they call it? And so here this fool was out there in the ocean, whole world going to hell, and he's out there with that stupid porpoise. And who cares whether that porpoise lives or dies? You said, I do. You're excused right now. Amen. But here is a disoriented society. Drugs are on the rampage, and a man stood up the other day, and he said, since I've been here, and we got the news on that storm, and a guy from Washington stood up and had his head bowed like this, and he said, and it just showed how they had robbed the whole St. Croix Island and carried all the food and stole everything there, and they said, we're sending police, but we will not use deadly force. And he said, when I mean deadly force, we won't kill anybody. Now, that's a good thing to tell all criminals. We're not going to hurt you, but we want y'all to behave. We're going to send these soldiers down there where you can see them like a soldier going to stop a thief. The only thing going to stop a thief is the fear of that gun. But, Jack, how come you to get saved? Well, first thing I thought I was going to hell, and the second thing I thought Woody Stevenson, he's the head of the police department, I thought he's going to kill me because he done told me that 3 times. And I done seen him kill 9. I know he'd kill you. Amen. I saw him kill him. Amen. He had me in a car one time and said, would you like to use my machine gun? I said, no, sir. He said, just hold it. I said, no, sir. No, sir. I knew better than that. I mean, we live in a disoriented society. A disoriented society. And drugs on the rampage. And they said, we're going to send some guns, but we don't want to shoot anybody. And all of a sudden, they said, one of them FBI agents down in Columbia the other day, he said, I was standing looking at the river, and he said, here come 20 bodies. Come down with their heads off, hands off, feet off. And it was the drug dealer sending the government a message. That's what we'll do to y'all. And what message we sending to them? Don't use any deadly force. We're living in a disoriented society. A disoriented. I want to say this. We have created this society that even most preachers can't live in. Nobody can live in this society. Man knocked on my door one day and he said, where does your children go to school? I said, right by the Christian school. He said, he can't do that. It was in Georgia. And I said, well, why? So they called me down there to the courthouse and I went down there and his name was Zipper. And he had flipped her too. I'll tell you, he was. And I went in there and he said, don't you realize that those children belong to the government? I said, you're a liar. Amen.
I said, I had them children. Me and my wife had them children. And them children don't belong to you. We're living in a disorderly society. No one has the answer. I want to say something. You don't have it. Amen. And we've built a society that you can't live. It's a disoriented society. It's what Jesus saw. And he changed a bit. The religion said they had it, and religion wanted to do with man. And I want to just say this. Religion don't care nothing about man. You ought to just go in these prisons and watch them fellows, you know, in there. And they'll have six people over here in the corner giving them psychology and psychiatry. I mean, boy, they're really handling these mad men. We're living in a disoriented society. Everybody claims to have the answer. And yet no one's doing anything about the problem. And that's exactly what was going on here. And Jesus, they came down, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed. And they run and saluted him. And he asked the disciples, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought my son, which have a dumb spirit. And then he said here, Jesus said in verse 19, he answered him and said, O faithful generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Hey, this father said, listen, I've got a demon-possessed boy. Lady told me here a while back, called me from Ohio. So her pastor might be here, I don't know. She called me and she said, Brother Wood, she said, my son's in jail. Said he's a very nice boy. And said he just got with the wrong crowd, and I wish you'd go visit him. And I believe I called you, Bill. You was working up there in the jail. I believe this is right. And I believe Bill went up there and checked in the jail. And they said, yeah, he's here. And went down and checked the record. And he took him a machine gun and went out there and shot a man's house up. You know, just a kid, you know, misled. You know, had a machine gun. Done shot these people's house all up. In other words, he was trying to kill another drug dealer. But his mother said, I've got a boy and he's saved. He loves the Lord. But he just kind of got messed up with the wrong crowd. He just messed up the wrong crowd. He's down to Texas Penitentiary now. You know, most people don't say my boy is a demon-possessed boy. And when he goes home, listen, this boy, he said he foams at the mouth. He gnashes with his teeth. In other words, he bites his mama. He fights his daddy. And he said he's sitting back there pining away. You're going home. You're going to preacher's home. And you'll find these kids sitting in there. And they stay back there by themselves. And all of a sudden you'll see them dart here and dart there. And you say, who's that? And that's my boy. He looked like he just come up out of a hole somewhere, like a little insect. Yeah, he looked like he's retarded, you know. And nothing wrong with that because, you know, we've had three or four of them. Mama swore I was, but nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I grew up in a home. You could do anything you want to as long as they couldn't see you. But they better not see you. I go in homes and people are just pining away. My brother-in-law, he claims to be a smart man, intelligent man. And he told Vicki here a while back, he said, Junior's going to have to move. He's going to have to get out of our house. And she said, what do you mean, Bo? Up in Pennsylvania, he's a head man with Singer sewing machine outfitted. Don't make machine, make something else. And some kind of a machine he makes. But he said, that boy's got to move. And she said, Bo, you must be out of your mind. Our baby can't move out of the house. And he said, he leaves or I leave. And she said, Bo, you'll just have to leave. Because he's 37 years old. Where would he go? Where would this baby go? Where would this little baby go? He stole his daddy's checkbook, wrote $4,000 worth of hot cake. He's been back all knocked out, you know, man. You know, got his record going boom, 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 boom. I mean, you know, he's got a dumb spirit. He got a dumb spirit. I mean, you know, he got his ears all boom, 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 boom. Hey, daddy, go to work, man. Run on down and get some more money and bring it up here to me. Now, can't I see my daddy, me running the house with them earphones going boom, boom, boom. Hey, man, drop 10 on me. He dropped something on me, it'd be 12. Yeah, he had a demon-possessed boy. In verse 25, look in your Bible, verse 25. It said, and when Jesus saw the people run together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, And that's what the average kid's got nowadays. You say, why do they make all them else on a report card? They're dumb. Oh, you said it's the teacher's fault. Them teachers are just molesting juniors. Keep telling him that. He make a good convict. Amen. He said, you got a dumb and a deaf spirit. And if you ever notice it, you tell a child something, you say, I've done told you this four times. He can't hear. He deaf. I seen a fellow the other day sitting beside. I asked John, I said, what in the world's the matter with this car? And the car was moving. And John said, these two fools next to us. And they'd come racing, and their car just sitting there. And the car, my car, was vibrating. Well, you roll the window down and run that fool in the house, why, he couldn't hear nothing. Amen. This is what Jesus saw. A demon-possessed child. Well, they stay by themselves. They can't hear. A dumb person don't understand nothing. Did you ever see a child say, I just don't understand you. You must be out of another age. I just don't understand you. And all dumb people and all deaf people and all demon-possessed people go naked. Amen. Do you ever see kids come out about that much clothes on? I mean, ain't got enough clothes on to water shotgun. I mean, you know, just no clothes at all. I mean, they wouldn't even make a Florida bedbugger wrestling jacket. I mean, ain't got no clothes on at all. They demon-possessed. I mean, when I was a kid, you know, I'd go down to Mexico with my dad and it'd load cantaloupes, watermelon, whatever he was doing. And I'd see them old-timers, you know, they put a heavy jacket on, go out there and work in them fields. And nowadays, people take all their clothes off and get out there in the sun. And the medical world says, in the state of Texas, it'd be so in Florida, they said the reason of all the skin cancer is because people expose their flesh to the sun. Old ladies used to wear bonnets. I always wondered why they wore bonnets until I read what skin cancer doctor said. He said when a woman has skin cancer, it usually starts on her ears. That's because she got too much of her hair cut off. Because she wants to be a man. She got her blue jeans on and got a man's watch on her left hand. Somebody think you was a bulldogger if they didn't know better. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about a demon-possessed boy. And he brought it. He at least died. He had sense enough to bring him to Jesus. Amen. And here's a desperate father. You look here in this Bible. This Bible said, this father said, listen, I have brought thee my son. This father said, I have brought thee my son. I got a boy like that, one out of five. And I brought that boy to God, and I said, there he is. I said to him the other day, I said, boy, you know you're saved? He said, ain't no doubt about it. That I know I'm saved. Listen to what verse 18 said. Whosoever he taketh him, he tireth him, he foameth, he gnasheth with his teeth, he's pining away. I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. The disciples couldn't handle this boy's problem. So this old man just brought him to Jesus. I never will forget today. I don't know why it happened this way. I have no earthly idea. I wasn't raised this way. I wasn't brought up this way. But when I was a kid, everything that was criminal fascinated me. Every movie fascinated me. Every book fascinated me. Everything about criminals fascinated me. When I got into that thing, my mother went to the FBI and they said, we can't help you. And she went to the police, and they said, Miss Wood, you can forget that boy. And my mother went to that church and got on her knees and began to call on God. Her and them two girls began to pray, and I got two sisters. One of them's married to a preacher, and the other one's over in Spain right now with visiting Brother Cooper and his wife. And them two girls and my mother began to pray for this old boy. And my dad really got right with God over that thing and said, God, if you'll save my boy, I'll live for you the rest of my life. My dad got his life really on the fire and on the altar for God. Got his life cleaned up for God. He's a deacon in a church. But my dad surrendered life before you know it. He was pastoring a church. God used all that thing to bring my family to the Lord. Every one of my family, my brother, my sisters, all of them. or in the work of God. I praise the Lord, I was the only black sheep in the family. And I thank God for that. But he was a desperate father. He took this boy to everybody. He got no help. You see, the scribe and the Pharisee and the Sadducee can't help him. The Pharisee will tell him to quit this and quit that. They don't help him a bit in the world. But I want you to notice something. He took this boy to everybody. It's kind of like that woman he talked about who spent it all, and she was no better. But he finally, in verse 17, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath the dumb spirit. Master, I brought him to you. Jesus, I have got him on the altar now. I found out nobody else going to help me. This desperate father. And when you get desperate enough to say, hey, this boy is wicked. That boy is ungodly. Man, I'm telling you, I guess I've dealt with more bad children, more rough children. We've got a boys' home ourselves up in North Georgia that belongs to our church. We've had it for years now dealing with just bad boys. And I mean, every day they bring a boy, and an 18 years old, 17 year old, we had got one for 20 years old up there, and just been in crime all his life. And every one of them, the same thing. Mama says he was just a good boy, but he got with some bad associates. My grandmother's name was Lizzie Clayton. Lizzie Clayton had 9 boys. Peter Clayton was killed, was murdered. He was outlaw. Joey Clayton had his arm cut all to pieces. I named one of my boys, and God forbid. But I named that boy after him. He had that arm mangled. Every one of them boys went to penitentiary. Them boys outlaws, I can hear my grandmother saying, there's a family of Loggins live right down the street. One of them died in an electric chair. And I can hear my grandmother saying, my boys are good boys, if it wasn't them old Loggins boys. And I'd go down to old Grandma Loggins, was a good old woman, went to a church, Baptist church there. And I can hear her saying, my boys was good boys till they got messed up with them Clayton boys. But when you get down to the point that you got you a wicked boy, and they know that might be your fault, it might not be nobody's fault, it might be just an old wicked boy to refuse to repent of his sin. But when you get down to the place where you say, God, I'm desperate and I'm bringing to you, and he's a hopeless situation, and here he is, and I want to see him saved. God will answer your prayer. Faith will reach out and touch God, and God will do something for you. The old lady called my mother, Miss Jo Sullivan. She's still alive today. She's 88 years old. She called my mother one morning. She said, I was down praying this morning. I hadn't saw that woman myself then in 10 years. I was out in California. She called my mother and said, can I come down to your house? My mother said, yeah, it's been 37 years ago. She drove down to my mother's house and she said, Marty, I was down praying this morning and God spoke to my heart that he's going to save Jack. And my mother's kind of taken back. My mother didn't, you know, when you start saying God said this and God said that, mama kind of get on the guard. This old woman knew the Lord in a real way and really prayed. And she said, Marty, it's really strange. She said, when I was praying, she said, I could see that boy preaching. She said, God spoke to my heart. And it was 2 weeks later, I called my mother. And I said, Mama, God saved me. And the very next week, God called me to preach in Los Angeles, California, in a mission. And Mama run down that house and said, Miss Sullivan, I didn't believe what you said. She said, I know it, Marty. God didn't tell you. She said, he sure told me. Yeah. See, she'd been praying about that thing. She saw her sister under a heavy burden, and so she began to pray with this sister in the church and lift up this burden. Amen? Amen. Miss Sullivan never went around and wrote up a testimony how she had heard from God and God had revealed all this to her. No, she just started praying for another one. She started praying. She prayed for another little boy named Willie Three Fingers lived in our community. He calls himself Bill Cosby. We call him Willie Three Fingers. He works for Jack Chick, I think. Yeah. He'd been in jail all of his life. 8 years he'd done the penitentiary. He lived a second house down. Mama began to pray for that boy. And God saved him on November the 19th, 32 years ago. And Mama called me on the phone and said, Jack, Willie got saved. Come get him. He lived with me 3 years. We was a thorn in Dr. Lee Robinson's flesh. Thank God for that old man putting up with us. A desperate father. He took that boy to everybody, but finally he came to Jesus. He confessed the need that was on hand. And he wanted help because he loved this boy. You got that girl, that boy that's in trouble today. I want to tell you something. God can help. I want you to know there's still the devil around. And there's still demons around. And you know, we get up sometime, we talk about demon world and the devil world and everything. And you know, some kid gets full of the devil, we start blaming it on him. And I know sometimes, you know, they have their responsibility, but sometimes he's just demon possessed. Sometimes he gets them from us. You said, I've never had a demon in me. Well, I don't know whether I've had one in me, but he's one camping around pretty close to me a couple of times. Fellow asked me that one day, said, do you think you can be demon possessed? I said, I don't know, but I've had the demon to get my mind and get my tongue and get my right hand and get my right foot. I don't know how much he had of it, but he had a whole lot. Amen. A guy whooped Willie Cosby one time. We visited Willie, told me he was going to hell. And this guy got mad and he hauled on and hit Willie. When he hit Willie, I thought, well, you know, he's going to beat Willie to death. So I hauled off, hit him, knocked him through a window. And I said, now I'm going to pray with you. And he run down the street and his name was Arsac. I never will forget it. When I came to this church, he came over and cleaned up that church. God let me win that whole family to the Lord. After I busted his nose. Amen. I mean, it was just circumstantial. Amen. That's all I know. He's a desperate father. I'll tell you, when God usually hears your prayer, when you get desperate. You know when God really hears my prayer? It's when the devil kicks me right in the stomach and I can't breathe anymore. And when I'm about to take my last breath, I say, oh God. That's how hard-headed I am. Maybe you're not that hard-headed. But I've had people walk up in the service and say, you pray for my boy. He's just an old sorry dope fiend. I mean, he won't work. He won't do anything. You'll never get no help that way. When you look at that boy and girl and say, I wonder where I've done wrong. Don't be trying to get out of the burden of a guilt trip or nothing. But just saying, the Lord, whatever I've done wrong, I'm sorry. And now this boy's going to go to hell and he's as wicked as a snake and this girl is as wicked as a snake. And if you don't save him, something bad going to happen. I went into teenage class. I went there the other day and I said, there's a bunch of them kids just living wicked, you know. And I went there and I said, Dorothy, what are you going to do? She said, sir. I said, what are you going to do? She said, well, I don't know. I said, you want to live for God? She said, no. I said, how about you? And I called this other girl's name. And I said, now you're 17 years old. You want to live for God? And she said, well, I don't know. I looked at my squire in her face and I said, now listen, you two girls have been coming here about 10 years. Is that right? And they said, that's right. I said, don't never come back again. You've been coming 10 years? And every time I look for you in the church service tonight, I tell you out there behind the woods with some boy, I said, don't come back in this church. He said, I don't believe you ought to have done that. What if they give your boy AIDS? And what? Then you say, it's your fault, preacher. You knew that. You knew something was wrong. And preacher, why didn't you take care of it? I do take care of it. I just called him in the office. And I told her mama, I had a man a while back. He's been with me 32 years. And I went to him and I said, Gene, he built that big radio station over there. I said, Gene, that girl's 19 years old and she's as wicked as a snake. I don't want her to come back to church. You said, well, you need to get her saved. Well, she done been saved four times. I said, don't let her come back. He said, whatever you say, preacher. He told that girl, he said, now you know you're wicked, you know you're sorry, and you know you ain't no good. Now get out. That 19-year-old grabbed her suitcase and left. And 1 year later, she come down that aisle in that church and fell on her face. Great, big, tall girl, beautiful young lady. She fell on her face, didn't she, John? Got in front of that church and said, I'm sorry, I've been wicked, but I'll tell you one thing. I found out that world's cold out there, and I need this church, and I got saved about 3 nights ago, and whatever preacher God wants me to do, I'm ready to do it now. Put them out there where they can see this. Oh, you said, I'm just going to keep on bringing my... Yeah, I know you are. I know you are. Because that dear little boy has just been misguided, and if he can come over to the church and get with some of these nice kids and corrupt them all. All right. He's a desperate father, and there were some destitute disciples. Look in verse 18. And whosoever, when he taketh himself, he said, I spake to thy disciples and that they should cast him out, and they could not, you see. They tried, the disciples have tried. We've had the moral majority group, and we've elected the president. We've got a wonderful president. He was a member of the Trilateral Commission, but he's a wonderful president. You said you shouldn't talk about the president. I know you shouldn't. The Bible said speak evil, not. This thing got, I'm confused. They've been selling all of these people, all of these communist machine guns, and banning them in the United States. I'm all confused. They said you can't have an automatic rifle, but I'm gonna sell the devil one. I'm confused. I'm all confused. But these disciples were destitute. And I believe religion and the church has tried politics. They've tried marches, they've tried protests, and they've even tried Christian schools, and that's been the biggest failure of all. A guy told me the other day that one of the biggest churches in Houston, the Greenwood Baptist Church. Greenwood Baptist Church seats about 1,400. And Greenwood Baptist Church had 20 in prayer meeting last Wednesday night. And they said that school killed it. Had 375 children in that school, and not one missionary out of that church. That's what God said for you to do, is to educate your children, let the world go to hell. That's what God told you to do. Okay, thank you. You say, I don't believe that. That's all right. But we've tried voting. We've tried politics. We've tried the marches. We've tried the protests. We've tried the schools. We've tried camps. We've tried the recreation. We've tried everything but prayer and fasting. We've got a Mexican church in Houston. We've got a Spanish-speaking Mexican church in Houston. We started, when I moved from the old building, we gave it to him. It seats about 500. 450, and it's full. I mean, totally full every Sunday morning. And they won't let their children, they don't go to Six Flags or nowhere. They have Bible drills and all that. And a preacher in Houston told me that. They said, I'll tell you one thing, Brother Wood. You won't get any young people just drilling with the Bible and singing and preaching and praying. You won't get many young people. They had 80 Mexican children average there every Friday night for the last 3 or 4 years. 80 to 100 every Friday. You know what children look? Children are looking for a challenge. And I want to tell you something. You can't entertain them. And God didn't call me. I told all eight of mine, I said, you believe that God called me to entertain you. Did you ever notice that in your life? All right, I'm going to get on with this message. I'm just about through. Amen. I'm going to try to. Amen. But then there is in verse 22, I want you to look in verse 22. The Bible said in off time he had cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help him. That destructive spirit is ruling. Do you ever see these kids nowadays when you buy them a car, they jack it up in the back? And they get the steering wheel, take the steering wheel, big, beautiful steering wheel, throw it away, give them a little bit of steering wheel. Let it be. Boom, boom, boom. And I mean, ain't had a car 2 weeks. They park in front of the house, transmission's out. Rear end's out. They done hit a post with it. Now, I lived in a time when a boy got a bicycle, he'd never have a spot. I mean, he just polished it. But that's a destructive spirit. The Bible said here that this kid here, it said he'd fall into the, jump in the fire. He'd jump in the water. That's the way they are now. I mean, they get on them skis just drunk as a goose. And they get on them skis and say, take away, man. And they take him away, put him in a box, ship him back home. I mean, he destroys them. And I mean, they just run into your car, just bump your car, hit your car. We got a destructive spirit. And you know, this even gets in preachers. Somebody told me the other day, they went deer hunting last year with a bunch of preachers and said, here come 100 deer. I said, they said, bang, 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 bang. They shot them about 10 or 15 up. And that's the fellow over at Laredo, Texas. He didn't like that. I'll just kill everything. They can kill each other. Man called me one day and said, I've got my son here. He killed his mother. I said, keep him, man. They tear up their toys. 3 days after Christmas. You go back there in the room, they just stick pins all in the wall. I guess I'm crazy. I hate people always driving nails in the wall. I just painted it, man. Drive nails in the wall. Take a kid, man, he get him a 16-penny nail, drive in the wall. Hang this, hang that. Boy, you're going some spook in there. That is spook in there. You know why they're so destructive? The people they follow is destructive. Tap the toys, they tap the building. Go back there in the toilet, right all over the wall. Amen. Cut their initials in the pew in the church. Sure. Take your bubble gum and stick it in the carpet. Get through eating something, throw it down the floor. It's a church house. I tell them, down our church, you spit on the floor at home, spit on the floor here. You say, I ain't getting a thing in the world out of this sermon. I know you ain't. But they have a destructive spirit. But let me tell you when it gets bad. When that child starts breaking, not his toys and not the building, but when he starts breaking your heart. Amen. And when he starts breaking mama's heart. And then when he comes in and treats his mother like she's a common criminal. I buried my mother in 87. And I stood up and preached her funeral. And I could look God and man in the face. And so I ain't never talked back to her in my life. My daddy's 81 years old. And I walked in a room when I come in here on the way here, and I stopped in Warden, Texas, and went in that hospital and visited that old man. I could look him right square in the face, and I said, if he dies, ain't nobody going to preach his funeral but me. I ain't letting nobody preach my mother's funeral but me. No, sir. I was her pastor for 20-something years. And bless God, I'll tell you one thing. I preached her funeral. Because I could look her right in that, I could walk up in that casket and look down in her face and say, I never in my life talked back to my mother. Never. Because I'll tell you one thing. I had a daddy 5'6" tall, weighed 195 pounds. You better not talk back. But he taught us young, buddy. You mess with mama, you're going to have to answer to him. I'd seen a neighbor talk ugly to my mama. And what he got, I didn't want. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You see, I thought your daddy was a Christian. He was. And he thought that if anybody didn't take care of his wife, he's worse than infidel. And I'll guarantee you better not talk ugly to my mama. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Amen. But they got this destructive spirit. So they break mama's heart, they break daddy's heart, and then they get saved and join the church and tear it up. Or God calls them to preach. And they go out and thank the Lord, owes everybody a living. Daddy told me he owed me a living, so he threw me out in the world and said, now go get it. That's a destructive spirit. But I want you to look in verse 27. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come to his house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Jesus said, I want to, in verse 19, if you got it, got your Bible, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? Bring him unto me. We have a display of the power of God. I don't care about the destructive spirit. I don't care about a destitute disciple. I don't care about a disoriented society. There is a power of God that can do something about it. Brother Bill Harvey, a singer, called me a few years ago and he said, preacher, I've got a nephew. His mother is a lesbian and his daddy's in prison. I wonder if there's anything you could do. So we took this boy. And today, Jimmy is about 6'4". When he came to us, he was about that tall. He looked like a couch potato. He's that big around. He'd never done nothing but got up and turned the TV on and walked over and sat back down. That's all he'd ever done in his whole life. He lived with these two old lesbians. He'd never done nothing in his life. He'd never cut a yard. He'd never carried out the trash. And they put him up on the ranch, and he began to work those old horses and cows, and God began to do something with Jimmy's life. And now it's some 4 or 5 years later, and he's a boy 18 or 19 years old, and God has called him to preach. And we saw the Word of God get a hold of him and change his life. And Jimmy said, God has called me to preach. Where does that display? Obeying the Word of God, Jesus said, bring him to me. We have trouble with that. We hate to just take our child to Jesus and leave him. Take our problems to Jesus and leave him. We like to take them to Jesus and leave them. Pick them up and take them to Dr. Ruckman, take them to Dr. Wood and every other counselor you can find. And we take them around. Take them around. Haul them around. Wear them out. Haul them around. Verse 23, look at it, please. The Bible said, Jesus said, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You believe God would deny me? I got a boy, I got a girl in trouble, I call on God. You think God would deny me? You believe, then you can do all things. That's what he said. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything God can't do? Is there a boy God can't save? I think sometimes with me, really I was more embarrassed than I wanted them to get right with God. I've seen my boys drive up, gone from home, living like the devil. And they'd drive up sometime, be two or three preachers there, and it embarrassed me. The way they dressed, the way they acted. Did you ever have that problem? You ever been embarrassed? Verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out, said in tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I know you can do something with him. Lord, I know I got this kid. I know I got this child. I know I got this problem. I know you can do something about it, but Lord, please help my unbelief. You ever confess that you didn't have enough faith to get there? Verse 26, look at it. And the Spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as dead one, insomuch that he said, he is dead. I looked there in verse 26, there's a change taking place. He's not tearing now, he's not screaming now, he's not hollering now, he's not foaming at the mouth now. He's laying there very quiet. The Holy Ghost of God's doing an operation on him, he's dead. Oh yes. Oh yes, today God can do something for you. You're here, young man, young lady. You're here this morning and you've been that rebel boy, that rebel girl. God can help you. I never will forget when I was in Los Angeles, lost, back in 51, 52. I got a letter from my mother, and she said, one of your old friends is out there. And I went there. I guess he's one of the best safe men I ever knew. He blowed safes for a living. He was about 10 years older than I was. And Woody was a safe cracker first class. He knew how to run them old alarms and everything, and I drove straight to his house. I was broke. I needed some money. And I went down to his house, and I said, Woody, what's going on? He didn't look like the same man. He'd put on a lot of weight. He had a bad scar. He'd been hit with a hatchet plumb across his ear here. And so I remember that scar. I said, I know that's him. I told my wife, that's him. And I said, what are you doing out here mowing this grass on this churchyard? He said, oh, I'm the pastor of this church. I said, you what? I looked at the little old church. It wasn't big as nothing. He said, this little old mission here belongs to... I'm the pastor here. They called me to be the pastor. I said, Woody, are you kidding me? He said, Jack, I got saved. He said, Jack, I've been praying for you every Saturday night for the last year. Woodrow Smith, about 5 weeks later, led me to Christ. Mama's back over in Texas knocking on the door. Them two girls laying down there crying out, God, help that old drug addict boy. Help that old junkie. Lord, if you don't save him, he's going to go to hell. You know what my sister told me the other day? She's 63 years old. She told me, she said, I made up my mind that my brother wasn't going to hell. She's a little old bitty thing. You'd think she's 35 years old. Little old bitty thing just flying around everywhere. And I'm going to write a book on her one time. And I'm going to name it Lala. That's her name. She just goes in them dope connections, goes in them rescue mission. Man, she has this pretty little old black-headed thing. She looked at me the other day and she had a bunch of Mexicans in her house. And her husband hated Mexicans. He died, boy, that man, he lost. And she had married him, she was a girl. Lived with him 40-something years, led him to God on his dying bed. She sat there the other day and had a bunch of Mexican preachers in there. And they was going to go out on the street and pass out tracts. She said, I know he went to heaven, Jack. I said, we won him to God. I said, but I bet he's upset in heaven over me having all these Mexicans here. Yeah. She has a 7-8 Mexican boy and their wives come every Sunday and eat in her house. And a bunch of the other preacher boys, Buddy Duke and all them, they come there and eat. They go out there in them streets and work them streets. But they eat at her house. We see a display of the power of God. And I'm going to tell you, she told me the other day, she said, you know, every time I see you get up behind the pulpit, she said, Jack, I remember when I picked you up in the street. I remember when I took you home one time and locked you up for 45 days and wouldn't just lock you up and push your food in there to you. Me and my husband. Her husband was lost, but they had a burden for me. They was worried about me. They thought I was going to die. And I was an old outlaw, and they just took me down and kept me in the house. And she said, Jack, I saw you so sick. I saw you dying on them old drugs. And to see you saved, she said, when every time I see you, it encourages my faith. She's been with me 20-something years. She stands in front every Sunday morning, deals with every lady come forward. Well, that's a blessing. See your old daddy sitting over there with his cane, you know, mean as a devil, you know. Old Linton Smith come down one day and sit in his place. He said, get up, you ain't going to do nothing to sleep anyhow. Move over. And Linton said, okay, you know, he moved up. That's pumping. It's wonderful to see a display of the power of God. But you're never going to see it till you come to the end of yourself. When you come to the end of yourself, you feel that, realize self can't do nothing, flesh can't do nothing, religion can't do nothing. Ain't nobody can do nothing but God Almighty. But I'm going to tell you something, there ain't nothing He can't do. There ain't nothing He can't do. And I'll tell you what He'll do. He'll take one of these kids, and He'll break your heart. I mean, He'll just break it and break it and break it. Because you're just like me, you hard-hearted, you mean as the devil. Or you said, I'm so religious, brother. Well, I know that. I've got a videotape of you after church. But here's a display of the power of God. Let me close. And Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. And he arose. That's what happens to every sinner when Christ takes him by the hand. He lifts him up, and that comes again in the book of Acts. When they come by the gate of Beautiful, it said they lifted him up and he went leaping and praising God. Running. That's exactly what happened to you, sinner. That's exactly what happened to you. When God touches your life. Lady, that's what happened to your girl. Dad, that's what happened to your boy. And he lifted him up and he arose. And the disciples said, why couldn't we do it? Do you hear any ring of the flesh in that? Why couldn't we do it? Do you hear any ring of the flesh with these great disciples, these great men of God, saying, why couldn't I do it? Because without faith, you can do nothing. And without God, you ain't going to do nothing. And without God, whatever you do ain't nothing. Let's have a word of prayer. Yeah, we live in a disoriented society. People are flabbergasted. They know not which way to turn. Religion on every side, on the television, is corruptible. 99.9%, or at least 100%, is totally corrupted. Politics is totally corrupted. 95% of the churches are totally corrupted. We live in a disoriented, but there's still a master. There's still a Bible. And that old Bible will point you to the Lamb of God. When you come to the Lamb of God, you can be saved. And you can do like I did as a young man 37 years ago. You can go back home knowing that you've been washed in the blood. You can know that God has touched your life. I want you to pray. I want you to ask God right now. Lord, I'm unsaved and I don't know the Lord. But I want to be saved today. Somebody will take a Bible here today and show you how to be saved. Somebody will take a Bible and show you how to get back to God. Maybe you're some mother's boy that's wandered far into sin. If you'll come this morning, God will take you back in. Father, speak to them now. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, please. Amen, Dr. Utman.
I want to say two things.
237. Let's sing 237, the hymnal, Why Do You Wait? The invitation open here this morning, especially to you if you're not a Christian, you've never been saved. This is an invitation. If nobody brought you to Jesus, you're not got anybody to bring you to Jesus, bring yourself. Bring yourself. Come this morning while we sing. 237, Why Do You Wait, dear brother? Why do you wait, dear brother? Oh, why do you tarry so long? Sing it. Your Savior is waiting to give you. Why not? What do you hope, dear brother, to gain? Why not? Why not? Is anybody here at the altar needs any help or wants any help? You just slip your hand up. Anybody here at the altar wants any help, just slip up your hand. Come ahead. There's some of you this morning, you need Jesus Christ, and there's no sense in waiting. There's nothing else there. How many times do you have to hear it? How many times do you have to hear some fellow stand up with white hair, gray hair, and tell you, it isn't in this, it isn't in this, it isn't in this, it isn't in this, it isn't in this. It's in Jesus Christ. It isn't another thing. It isn't there. I sometimes want to give an invitation. What you're thinking? What's going through your head? What do you think you got a hold of that's going to work? It never worked for anybody else. You want the hard road and the uneducated road? Brother Wood has been through it. You want the educated path? I've been through it. I'll give you the other side. You think philosophy will work? You think karma will work? You think Buddha will work? You think Confucius will work? You think transcendentalism will work? You think extrasensory perception will work? You think science will work, do you? You think biochemistry will work, do you? It won't. It won't. Religion won't work, and philosophy won't work, and humanism won't work. Only one thing that works, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think sometimes a fellow's just so humiliating to think about it, sometimes he makes my mind, I'm just not going to be like the rest of the herd. But you're just going in a circle, and when you get to be 80 or 90, you'll know we told you the truth, if you live that long. There are any other ways that work. The rest of us all temporary. Let's sing how, do you not feel, dear brother? Do you not feel, dear brother, His Spirit now striving within? I read a poem once time, I didn't remember, I wish I could, but the gist of that poem was, when we've tried this and tried that and tried this and going around the world and tried this and tried this, at the end we finally have to come back to the book that our mother trusted in. That must be a humiliating thing for somebody to think about all that trouble, then you come back to an old Bible that mama read. That's where you wind up. You wind up right there. Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Christ has sanctified them with truth. Thy word is truth. Now, I'm not going to sing much more. We're going to close here in a minute. Is Brother Sile here this morning? Is he here today? Come on down here just a minute. I want to have you, if you would, come right out and stand by this step over here, if you will, sir. And Brother Wood, if you'd stand right over there by the steps down here. And I want to show you something. I want to show you something. I don't know what your alibi is this morning for not accepting Jesus Christ, but I'm going to show you what's going to happen when you hit the judgment. When you hit the judgment, you're not going to be able to say one thing about why you turned him down. Now, I'll show you why. Now, see these two fellows here? Are you here this morning? And I don't know you, but are you here this morning? You're out messing around with drugs and dope and cat houses and whoremongering around, living like the devil.
and fooling around with pornography and messing around with stuff that doesn't belong to you and leaning toward crime? Is that where you are right now? I'm not going to ask you to reveal yourself, but is that why you're not getting saved this morning? Not this one God to save right there. Why don't you go down and meet him? Come take his hand. He's an old dog. He knows the ropes. You better believe it, he knows the ropes. You think you know him? Some of you young bucks stand here this morning think you've got some little sideline, some little special piece of light nobody else has had. Why don't you go down and give me a hand? Go there, give me a hand. And say, preacher, I'm a bad man like you were, and I want to be a good man. And let him take you back in the back room, lead you to Christ. You say, Reverend, I'm not like it. I'm clean as a hound's tooth. I never drink nothing stronger than buttermilk. I was there. You haven't got any way out. There's a fellow that never tasted beer or wine or gin or whiskey and never smoked a cigarette in his life. Right there. Listen, if you can't fool me, you think you're going to fool God? You haven't got an alibi. Some of you guys raised right and raised good, clean homes and clean mamas and daddies and raised right, went to Sunday school all your life. Why don't you go down the invitation, take his hand, and say, preacher, if you need salvation, I guess I need it too. And take Christ. Why don't you do it? Right now. We're going to sing an invitation. I look for you to come. What do you say when you stand up there before God and he puts you on the spot? I'm putting you on the spot here. People love you and praying for you. God Almighty is going to put you on the spot where everything is holy and pure and sinless, and you won't have stand the chance of a snowball in hell, man. You got a chance now. What's your alibi? You a good fella? They get saved. You a bad fella? They get saved too. Let's sing, Why Do You Wait, Dear Brother? Last stanza. Why do you wait? Let's see you go. Let's see you move. Don't wait. Come on now. Come on. Why not? Why not? Come on. Why not? Haven't got a reason in the world. Step out right now. Amen. Got Tommy Hawthorne coming, got saved last week, come make a public profession of faith in Christ. We're not going to close. We're going to sing one more stanza. I don't often do this. I'm going to sing one more. I feel like, I don't know what this is about my personality or something, but I scare people or rattle people or something. I don't know what it is. I don't tend to be that way. I'm trying to appeal to you. Now, listen. Just figure the thing out. If you're bad, you have to be born again. The Lord will take you. He took him. If he can take him, he'll take you. Amen? All right. Good people have to be saved. There is. See? You're just clean as he is? Okay, you need to be saved. God save him. He can save you. You say, Ruckman, I'm kind of in the middle then. Well, I guess you don't have a chance of a dog then, if that's the case. I mean, if you're neither good nor bad, I don't know what you are. But if you're good or bad, the Lord will take you. The Lord will take you. I want us to sing, let's sing one stanza, Yes, I Am Without One Plea, and we'll give you one more chance. Now, I put these fellows down here as personal workers. Because I want to see these men lead you to Christ. I want you to let them take you where they took this boy. They bought this boy, and they bought him to Jesus. And these men will take you to Jesus Christ. And I brought them down here because I know they'd get a blessing out of seeing you come. All I sing, just as I am, without one plea. Just as I am. Come on, if you're going to come, come on. This will be it. This will be it. One more chance. This will be it. You're going to come, step out and come. You're not going to do it. No matter where you are, I don't know who you are, but I know one thing. There's some people here this morning, you seared your conscience just like you picked up a hot iron and just burned it flat out. Now, I know something else, but I don't think about men. I bet some of the guys you've talked to in the last 2 or 3 weeks, the last 2 or 3 months, you've talked to right along the lines I've been talking to you about today. Some of your buddies out there at the barracks, or down there in the hold, or down there in the C deck, or B deck, or A deck, or in the galley, or down there in the barracks, the mess hall. I bet some of you have been telling them, well, I can't quit this, and I can't quit that. When I get so I can live it, and all that stuff, and it's all taken care of right there. But some of you have been saying, well, I know nothing wrong. I never killed anybody. No, I was raised right away. And it's right there. Now, you faced it, see? You faced it. And you learn something about yourself. You learn you're not as big a man as you think you are. So out there with the crowd you're with, you know, to talk big like that. Now, you get in here, we'll call you to count. We'll ask you to show your colors and nail them to the mast where folks can see them. And that's what you've been asked to do today. Some of you failed. I don't know where you are, but I just feel some of you failed. Now, if you get, Lord, let you live to dinner time, and you live to bow your head at the table today, some of you. Now, the few fifth word, I mean, I know some of you are okay, but the few fifth word, bow your head at the table and say, Lord, forgive me this morning for not doing what I knew I should have done, which I have no excuse for not doing, and God, give me a chance to do it again, and give me the strength and the manhood to do it. Amen. Father, bless your people. Dismiss me your blessing. Assemble us tonight again with your blessing. Give us a great time of victory in thee tonight. Bless the word of God that's been preached here today and throughout this week. And may fruit be produced in eternal life that will abound and redound to your glory. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.